Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we're going to be talking with Kathy Mondet today about her life experience and how she ended up in a wheelchair and how that's impacted her life. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking food. We're going to be talking healthy food choices with Lenka. But before we do that, here's Garrett with the health news.
Getting kids involved in the kitchen through cooking classes or at home may make them more likely to choose healthy foods, according to a recent review. Cooking programs and classes for children seem to positively influence children's food preferences and behaviors, according to the new research. And although the review didn't look at long-term effects of such programs, the findings suggest that such programs might help children develop long-lasting healthy habits. This research comes at a time when childhood obesity rates have been rising rapidly. This trend has been caused, at least in part, by a significant decrease in the amount of meals that people consume at home since the 1980s. The study authors recently published their findings in the CDC's Preventing Chronic Disease, Public Health Research, Practice and Policy. People with rheumatoid arthritis may be more likely to achieve remission if they maintain a healthy body weight, according to new research. The study found that those who were heaviest had almost 65% reduced odds of disease remission. Being underweight also lowered the odds of remission. Findings from the new research were presented earlier this month at the American College of Rheumatology annual meeting in Boston. Studies presented at meetings are generally considered preliminary until they've been published in a peer-reviewed journal. A moderate amount of physical activity in your daily life may reduce your risk of Parkinson's disease, according to a new study. While the study found a link between exercise and a reduced risk of Parkinson's disease, it's important to note that it wasn't designed to prove that exercise was the definitive cause of the lower risk. The research included more than 43,000 women and men in Sweden who were followed for an average of more than 12 years. None had Parkinson's disease when they enrolled. Nearly 300 had been diagnosed with the disorder by the end of the study. The study was recently published in Brain, a journal of neurology. Eating a serving a day of yogurt may lower your risk of developing type 2 diabetes, new research suggests. The study was published online November 24th in the journal BMC Medicine. It was founded by the U.S. National Institutes of Health. In type 2 diabetes, the body does not produce enough insulin or the body's cells develop a resistance to insulin, and blood sugar levels then get too high. Exactly how the yogurt may help is not certain. The thinking by many experts is that the probiotics in yogurt alter the intestinal environment in a beneficial way, helping to reduce inflammation and improve the production of hormones important for appetite control.
Thanks for that, Garrett. Our first guest, Kathy Mondet, is the founder of a company called Wheelchair Solutions. And Kathy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about what happened in your life and how you ended up in a wheelchair.
Different paths and different avenues take you to different things in life, I found. I'm a landscape designer here in Scottsdale, Arizona. Was working on a job setting up a waterfall in a pool, and a 1,200-pound boulder actually came off of the crane broke, the chain snapped, and it crushed my spinal cord.
Oh.
So immediately I was rushed when they could get it off of me down to the trauma hospital here in Phoenix. And I don't remember too much. What I do remember is waking up to a fly being on my nose, and I was in a striker bed, which is one of the beds that turns about every 6 hours for spinal cord patients. And I couldn't get this fly off my nose, and I screamed for the nurse to come in and then asked what happened, and things started to come back as to what happened. And the doctor was not in the hospital at the time, so they gave me some sedation to put me to sleep until he was able to come in and talk with me. And they basically told me that I had crushed the spinal cord, C3 through 6, and the fluid that you know, is in your spinal cord, when you deplete the fluid, you deplete the mobility of moving your arms, your legs, everything pertaining to your spine. And so some of the fluid actually had depleted out of the spinal cord also. So they gave me a choice and told me, Kathy, you can basically try and rehab into a wheelchair and see if some of the feeling comes back, or we can do an experimental surgery where we're going to put a 17-inch plate, a rod, and open up through your neck and slide down, you know, this rod into your spine, and we'll screw it in and tighten your spinal cord. And hopefully, as you regain the fluid back in your spinal cord, you know, you'll be able to walk again. That is our ultimate goal. So, to me, there really wasn't a choice. I chose the operation, and when I woke up again, I was in a halo brace. And I don't know if, I'm sure, you know, people have mentioned that to you, but it's actually a brace. It gets screwed into the back and the front of either your head or your back, and it will mobilize your neck and your head so that it doesn't move, you don't move. And so I spent the next 4 months or so in the halo brace in a wheelchair. And then from the halo brace, I graduated to a J collar, which is just a, you know, a collar that gets put on, and you can put it on daily so that you can take a shower and whatnot by this point in time. And I spent almost 14 months in a wheelchair. And I'll tell you, my life changed. It, besides the fact that I became very humble, in different ways for me, and positive, a lot of positive things. I learned how to be handy able from being disabled. Okay, and that's what I call it. That I don't like to use the word disabled, because in most cases, hopefully the person can use either their hands or, you know, a portion of their arms to be able to reach and touch and feel and, you know, do things like that. Now, I still, to this day, I can't text on a telephone. Everybody that works with me, I drive them crazy because they're like, oh, Kathy doesn't text, okay? So I tell them, email it to me, I'll email back. I cannot, I don't have feeling in my fingertips at all. That's one thing that never, ever came back. And I have a numbness totally from my ankle all the way up to the top of my thigh areas. On the insides of my legs for some reason. And I've tried through rehab and other things, but I've just never been able to regain the feeling back. So there are feelings that, and this was, you know, many years ago, like 13 years ago this happened. But I'm, you don't know me, Mr. Fuller, but I'm not the type of person to stay down too long, as we would put it. My father taught me at an early age that, you know, if something happens, you scrape your knees off and you get up and you go on, and you just try and make life even better than it was before. And so I actually wrote a landscaping book, which sold in Lowe's and Home Depot and still sells on Amazon.com, two books, Outdoor Entertainment Ideas and Designs, and Beehives, Barbecues, Fireplaces, and More. And that's how I made enough of a living from writing these books And I had my girlfriends, you know, pull the notes, and I talked into a dictation, you know, machine. And after I got out of the wheelchair is when I actually, you know, took it to a person to make it into into an actual book. But I was self-published and self-wrote the book. And it did very well for 10, 11, 12 years in both those stores. But what I really, really, my passion and my heart got into was the fact that, you know, people that are in wheelchairs, it's such a depressing thing to be in a wheelchair to begin with. Try and brighten your life. Try and make your day a little bit better to you and to be around other people that are in wheelchairs or not. You know, just with my girlfriends, they would take me out to dinner. And as I started to be able to move my hands and my feet, I've always been a seamstress, and I made wheelchair seat covers with a 3-inch foam security pocket, and I made them in different, you know, patterns, stars and stripes. I made them in zebra. I made them in peace symbol, you know, the peace signs, and all different kinds of Laura Ashley style prints. And I got this idea because it brightened my day if I went out to lunch or dinner with my girlfriend or even just out in the wheelchair, that people would come up to me and say, "That's really cool. I've never seen anything like it." And, of course, you wouldn't, because I was making them at the time. So that's how I came up with Wheelchair Solutions and then added to the product line to quite a few other products.
I want to come back to that, but before, I was going to ask you, what does it feel like when you wake up in a hospital and you have no feeling? What goes through your mind at that point?
You're terrified. And everything is, I didn't remember too much. They had me, you know, sedated quite heavily. But it's frightening. It's, you know, I still had my mind, and I still had, you know, I was able to talk to people and relate to them. And, you know, as some of our veterans come back, they're not able to do that, but I was able to do that. It's a very frightening feeling to not know whether or not your life will ever be the same again, or if you'll be able to continue in your life. You know, I really didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen, and that's why when, had that experience and they sedated me until the doctor came in and talked to me, it's very frightening. It's not anything that anyone would want to go through in life, but people do go through things like that in life, and you know, we all adjust to certain things. I mean, I've talked to people that have had motorcycle accidents. I've talked to people that, you know, have been on four-wheelers and have had spinal cord injuries. It never stops, okay? And the amount of people that are in wheelchairs is amazing. The numbers grow every year, and as us baby boomers, because I'm in my 60s, as we get older, people are living longer, and so the amount of people that are using walkers and rollators and wheelchairs seems to constantly be growing.
We're talking with Kathy Mondot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about wheelchair health.